Brother Krupa told me the topic that he's chosen tonight. He said it's a telling of the old story. And I told him, that's good. That's the best story that we've ever heard. We don't get tired of it. His lesson is entitled, On Holy Ground. On Holy Ground. Brother Ray.
My dear brethren, it is indeed a great privilege and a joy to be here with you. Bernie and I have looked forward to this for a long time, and we're happy that we finally made it. A convention is like an oasis. Sometimes, when we look forward to a convention such as this, we continue to think about how we have left some things behind. For instance, in our case with the brethren at the retirement center, some of them were not able to come. And Tim was not able to come because he's in Jackson, Michigan this weekend. But they would have liked to have been here too. But we're here because the Heavenly Father permitted us to come. And sometimes when we're not able to partake of a convention such as this, we think, oh, how I would love to be there. And sometimes we begin to think that, my goodness, I'm just here, or we're just here, and not able to do the things that we would like to, and I think that I feel more like being in a wilderness than anything else. But really, we just have to leave things in the hands of the Lord, because He is our director and guide and keeper, and our beloved Father. And so we have come here for a nice long weekend in order to have a quiet retreat, a place where we can enjoy fellowship with those of like precious faith, and the privilege of looking into God's Word once again. One of the great things that is going to happen as we continue to unfold the blessings of this convention during this weekend, we will first of all, begin to recognize in our fellowship together and in our studies that someone is speaking to us, that we hear a voice, and we recognize that that voice is the voice of our loving Heavenly Father. And hour after hour, as we meet together, we will continue to feel uplifted and encouraged because our Heavenly Father's influence and presence will be with us. I'm sure that all of us feel that we love very much to be near our Heavenly Father. We are His children. We go to Him with all sorts of aches and pains and troubles and distresses. And He's always there. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, many, many years ago, were created with the ability to appreciate the wonderful things that Jehovah God made for them. They had a beautiful garden home, and they appreciated it a great deal. And everything in their home was created by the, or through the Heavenly Father, in a way that was very pleasant to Adam and Eve. And wherever they went in that garden, they had evidences of the Heavenly Father's handiwork. There were trees and flowers and animals, and there must have been a lake or two or three or a dozen. There were pools and rivers and just all sorts of things that were such a joy to them. But the supreme joy, the greatest joy that they had, young though they were, in that garden, they experienced something very special. Because in the cool of the evening, they heard the voice of God speaking to them. And that was something that swept them off their feet. It just was something that their whole being just reacted, because their Father in heaven was speaking to them in a very special, special way. A little later on in history, there was David, who as a shepherd boy first, and then later on as a king, he also enjoyed fellowshipping with the Heavenly Father, and often he would, in an evening, sit down and look into the heavens and praise God for those blessings he received. He would lie back on that green pasture and watch the developing panorama of the skies, the pageantry of the heavens. And what a joy that was. To look into the starry heavens and to note the star patterns like the Big Dipper. You remember the Big Dipper? There are a lot of things that I don't remember from my old days, but I sure remember the Big Dipper. And when I see that Big Dipper even now, occasionally. It does something to my heart because it makes me realize that one of my good Bible friends, David, was someone that looked at that wonderful Big Dipper just as I used to when I was a kid. Now, we knew ourselves since childhood how wonderful then our Heavenly Father has been to us, and how he not only drew these patriarchs like David, but also most of those who love him even now in this day. This experience for David drew him to God, and that same kind of an experience draws us to God as well. For David, it made him realize that the Creator of the universe was mindful of man. And so we read in the 8th Psalm, the 3rd and the 4th verses, David was saying, "When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" And so here we have another expression of the Heavenly Father's loving, wonderful care. He is interested in the Son of Man, and he visits them. When God appeared to Moses later on in the burning bush to speak with him about some very important things that the Heavenly Father had in mind, he commanded Moses by saying, Exodus 3:5, "Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Holy ground. Holy ground. We've met together, and right now we are on holy ground, because we came here to have deeper fellowship with our Heavenly Father again. And I'm sure that our Heavenly Father has already arranged things for our brethren who will be serving us to spread the glad tidings in a way that will make us happy and will help us walk away from here rejoicing. Long, long ago, we learned that where our Heavenly Father is and when and where he speaks to us, his people, that is truly holy ground. Even in our little home, even in our little nook, even when we just thread through God's Word, we feel the voice of God somehow talking to us. and this week, this weekend, is going to be a very precious time for us. We have once again, therefore, been greatly impressed with the realization of how important it is for us to reverence our Heavenly Father. When the law was given to Israel at Mount Sinai, in the sight of all the people, we read in Exodus, the 19th chapter and the 16th verse, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. Now Israel at that time had great respect for Jehovah God, because they knew that something very unusual was being done. And so the only proper attitude was not only for those Israelites of old to honor and reverence not only what was happening, but knowing that it was Jehovah God that was doing the work. So whether it be an Israelite on Mount Sinai, or a Gentile in the court of Cornelius, or a king of Babylon, or a prophet, or just a plain, simple child of God like you and me, we should, as we have opportunity, reverence our Heavenly Father's great name. After all, Jehovah God is the creator of all things. He is the author of our being and the bestower of the plan of salvation. He is the Lord and preserver of the entire universe. And we appreciate all that He has done for us. We are glad, therefore, to reverence and worship Him. And that's what we're doing this weekend. And when He speaks, our ears should be attentive and tuned to His voice. Since the time of our consecration, the divine plan of the ages and our privileges of service have been enlarged, and they will be further illuminated this weekend. We are somewhat like Moses after He hewed out the two tables of the stone the second time. The Heavenly Father at that time elaborated upon His name, and He gave those who would hearken, especially Moses, some information as to what His being really consists of. And so we read in Exodus 34, 6 and 7, that the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And so here we find that noble character, our loving Heavenly Father, has revealed Himself in order that we and others might be able to better appreciate what he is doing for us and so many others. We find that our Heavenly Father has spoken of these things in Exodus 34 in this way. He says he is merciful and gracious. What does that mean? That means then that he is compassionate and that he is ready to rescue the world of miserable sinners, and that he is bestowing unmerited favors to those who have walked in his beloved Son's footsteps. He is spoken of as long-suffering. Long-suffering means to be slow to anger. It means patiently bearing things. In the case of our Heavenly Father, he is showing long-suffering, as far as we know, for over 6,000 years. And the multiplied provocations of the fallen human family have been something that the Heavenly Father has watched over and seen for a long, long time. Our Heavenly Father is spoken of as abundant in goodness and truth. He is abundant. He has everything. And his goodness and his truthfulness is a joy to behold. His riches and bounty are infinite, providing a plan of salvation and untold blessings of the kingdom. He is spoken of as forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And I'm sure that we are thankful that we realize that our Heavenly Father has been so good to even us along this category. Yes, the world of sinners was lost. But our Heavenly Father's love provided the dearest treasure of his heart, and that was his only begotten Son, so that he might be able to do more in a special way that God had in mind. So how thankful we are, therefore. That Jehovah God elaborated on his name so long ago, and that we even today, as we search the scriptures, can appreciate the loving kindness and mercy that he has shown. Now, magnificent though that was, there was an addition made to it by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because as you well know, this addition was very splendid. And it was something far greater than anything that ever existed before. Because the Heavenly Father desired to use his beloved Son in a way that would just sweep people off their feet. Perhaps not so many of them at the present time, but eventually the whole world of mankind will rejoice. And this great blessing altered the relationship that existed between what the world had. And it also meant that the Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ were such a unit, such a blessing one to another, that they could just overflow with the needs that we have received. So some in Jesus' day, as it was sometimes even in our day, that some of them were quite bewildered and uncertain and weary and frail and heavy laden, because they needed the help of the Master. And the Master was delighted to be of service to them. And we this weekend are going to receive blessings that only our Lord and Master and our beloved Heavenly Father will be able to pass on to us. The Master invited his followers to throw away their fears and their claims, and he wanted them to trust in the true and living God, knowing that He is our Father. And so that's what we must do. In the case of the Israelites, they were afraid to call themselves the sons of God. When Jesus said that He was the Son of God, what happened? Well, what happened was that they said that He was a blasphemer, and they felt that He should be smitten with death. But Jesus opened a new and living way. That living way was not meant in the days when He did this for all the Israelites of His day. That new and living way was not meant for all the people in the entire world of this day. But by God's grace and by the great work of our beloved Master, Jesus opened this new and living way. And just one here and one there was able to realize that this new and living way was something very special. And so they began to walk in this narrow way, thankful that it meant something far greater than anyone on earth would ever be able to realize. And so it was for those who had hearing ears, those who had made a covenant of sacrifice with their Master and with our Heavenly Father. Only they are privileged to speak of the Creator as their Father and the Lord and Master as their beloved Redeemer and Keeper. What an honor and privilege it is for us then to serve the true and living God. in Psalm, the 95th chapter, the 6th and the 7th and the 8th verses, has something just very beautiful to present. Oh, come. Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So during this convention, we will truly hear the voice of God, as I have told you so much already. Mostly, it will be, I think, maybe an enlargement of the things given to the Lord's people during the Gospel Age. In the time of the harvest, those truths were magnified and they were made more understandable. And that's why we came together here, so that the Heavenly Father would be able to bestow things upon us that would help us understand what the Scriptures are talking to us about. Now, they are not given to the world. They haven't even been given to Christendom. But they have been given to the people of His pasture. What do we understand that others know little or nothing about? What do we understand? It's all by God's grace. We know that. Well, there are a lot of things that we understand. We understand that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever studied about that? Has it ever refreshed your heart and mind when you realize that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning? And we understand that there are epochs and dispensations in the divine plan, that there has been a mystery hid from ages and generations, but now made manifest to the saints. We understand that it is a matter of Christ in you, the hope of glory. We understand that the Lord has returned and its object is the restitution of all things. That the permission of evil will be overruled for good. That the day of judgment, that in the day of judgment, there will be blessings in it. How about ransom and restitution? How we love that old, old story. And that spiritual and human natures are separate and distinct. That there are three ways, a broad way, a narrow way, and what? A highway. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called what? The way of holiness. We also understand that there have been four universal empires in the world. The fifth brings the desire of all nations. The kingdom of God has two phases, a spiritual and an earthly. And we, by God's grace, are privileged to walk hoard that wonderful opportunity to be part of the spiritual kingdom. We understand that the day of Jehovah is a time of trouble, but dark clouds will turn those things inside out, and there will be a silver lining. How blessed we are to have heard the voice of God then, and have walked on holy ground for some time. And as a result of this feeling, of this understanding of the truth, it has resulted in a feeling for, I'm sure, each of us, that we need have no fear because our Heavenly Father is looking after all things. Daniel says in the 6th chapter, the 26th and the 27th verses, just in part, he says, Jehovah God, He is the living God and steadfast forever, and His kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and His dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and He worketh signs and wonders in heaven and earth. And so our Heavenly Father will soon demonstrate His mighty power. In His due time, He will stretch forth His hand and make short work of His enemies. In the meantime, the Lord's little ones are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Our Father knows our needs, and so He will take care of those difficulties that we find in our own life. But He wants us to go to Him in prayer, having faith that He has made provision for us in all things, and that He will make all things work together for our good. Isaiah 40, 21 and on says, Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Deuteronomy 6, 5 says, Thou shalt love Jehovah thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy being. And so we love our Heavenly Father and His service more than anything in this life, more than family and friends, more than houses and lands. And if we love Him, we will use up our life in proving to Him that we love Him with our whole being. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not heard and known that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So this evening we've spent just a little bit of time on holy ground. But there's a lot more coming. May God help us to continue to be joyful and to rejoice, knowing that our loving Heavenly Father loves us and will take care of us as long as we need his help. May God bless you all. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Krupa. It's wonderful to consider that coming here, we've entered onto holy ground. That's been our prayer for this convention. And it's wonderful to be reminded this first talk that all this weekend, God will be talking to us. It's a wonderful thought. Thank you very much.